This is His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we have our regular Monday guest with us, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis with our Ethics Watch, checking out what's going on in the world that's relevant to you as a Christian, particularly with regard to the Ten Commandments and how we ought to live and human life and its value. Dr. Weiss, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Fisk. How are you and your family doing?
Doing well. Had a good Thanksgiving weekend. Got to see my folks and spend some time with the kids and avoid the mall.
Isn't that, yeah, because when you go to the mall, you get mauled.
That's exactly right. So, hey, you were talking just a moment ago, and I'm really interested to hear about this 3D rendering of the human embryo. Tell me about that.
Yeah. This is something that has just been generated over by a Dutch team, and it actually was in the journal Science that I read. And most of the textbooks of embryology, when I testified in Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City when they were going through human embryo research issues, I'd always take my embryology books with me from medical schools. Of course, we're dealing with the development of a human embryo from conception all the way through the eighth week. That's embryology. And they all, to be quite honest, these embryology books, these are the experts, and they all say that the embryo is a human being. I mean, this is a process. And so, to put it straightforward, they agree with scriptures. It's not that the scriptures agree with them, but they tend to be the handmaiden of the scriptures in this article. So they've developed this 3D atlas of the human embryo. Now, I'm going to give your listeners the website for this, because it is just stunning to see how a human is developed. Now, this is new. It's called, now this is one word, 3DEmbryoAtlas.com. I'll say that one more time.
Is that the number three?
The number three, all lowercase, 3DEmbryoAtlas.com. The number 3DEmbryoAtlas.com. So if they look it up, it's just stunning, and it's the website of the atlas, and textbooks of the human embryo, basically, I mean, they're pretty much the same. They go back 100 years. It's the first development of the human embryo goes back to 1855, a German, Wilhelm Hess, H-E-S-S, kind of started this all out to set the record straight that this is a process. There are no moments in conception, which, of course, is what, to be quite honest, the Greek and the Hebrew teach us about incarnation, about God taking on human flesh and becoming one of us and entering our history. So they've done an incredible job here, and they have a database of 34 human embryos spanning the first 2 months of human development and about 15,000 sections about how all of this is developed. So it really puts into view what it means to be human and how God has created us. So it's a good review of the first article. It's a good review of certainly what Jesus went through in the womb of Mary. And so I just want to share that with you. It's another one of those issues. And if your listeners go to this 3DEmbryoAtlas.com, they'll see a ton of information that will just open their eyes to a different view of what it means to be human.
The psalmist writes, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me together in the secret place." It's a testimony to the goodness of our Lord and the miracle that science now is able to show us how, as human, God continues to mold us and craft us from the flesh of our mother and so forth. You were also then talking about, and this is just as important on the other side, the continual march of euthanasia and how the next victim really is another people group that are victimized in a different way, the alcoholic.
Yeah, sometimes Pastor Fisk, I get somewhat concerned about, of course, on Monday morning, we tend to review things that are in the bioethical area and what's going on in the world. But people need to be informed because, as you well know, we've talked about how euthanasia now, physician-assisted suicide, has been added in Colorado and Washington, D.C. And so we're up to six states and then, of course, to the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C. And in in the Netherlands now, and they're talking about doing this over here in the United States. And some people may say, well, that'll never happen here. Well, it's happened here already. And if one follows the history of euthanasia, we actually were the first country to legalize physician-assisted suicide. The Hague, Netherlands didn't have it legal until after we did it. It was always permitted with certain criteria, but now the first alcoholic over in The Hague, Netherlands has been euthanized because he said he was just, he was quite ill and he was suffering psychologically. And so apparently his younger brother or his younger sister has written a book on this and seeking attention now over here in the United States. Maybe this is a way to deal with issues. And so I keep thinking, you know, what else could happen here? Because last week we talked about how some of the people, and in fact, this is a new thing, the founder of euthanasia in England and also now, or in the Hague, Netherlands, and now so here in the United States, Peter Singer, and we mentioned this last week, they want prisoners who are sentenced to life, you know, to have a less cruel and inhumane way of dealing with their life, and that, of course, is physician-assisted suicide. So these are things where people may be scratching their head, like, what is happening here in this world, in this country? But these are the things that are going on that require us to be tuned in and to move forward with our Christian witness on what it means to be human in Christ, and that, you know, the Lord is in control, period. And this type of issue, when you go back to what you introduced in terms of the fifth commandment, you will not murder. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor, but help, befriend, and support them in all bodily needs. So now we're back to, I want to be your burden. And this goes into the issue of not encouraging the death of a loved one, but to take care of them. So I think this should open more doors for us in terms of taking care of those who are struggling over their end of life. And just as you know, as a pastor, the ministry of presence speaks volumes.
In a world full of sinners, what other human being is not at one point or another a burden on me? And at what point am I ever not a burden on other people? Dear heavens, my wife is listening. She knows what a burden I am to her, and she loves me, right? We're glad to be together. And so this, what's really at stake here is losing who we are. Are we really going to give in and believe that we are just animals, that we are just a random smattering of atoms pulled together accidentally into passions and instinct? Or are we the image of the Creator, again, fearfully, wonderfully made, sentient in ways really beyond anything else in the material world, and for that reason valuable, even and especially maybe when we are a burden on others, that we learn to bear with each other in our sins and iniquities, that we learn to carry each other in our weaknesses and failings. And as a culture, as we reject that in the name of mercy, what we're really going to lose is mercy. We're going to lose actual charity.
Yeah, unquestionably. This is why I would encourage our listeners to go back to what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6 about bearing one another's burdens, just fulfilling the law of Christ, which we're talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, Dr. Martin Luther, with the anniversary coming up next year, has some great things to say about this in his Romans commentary on loving your neighbor as yourself. And I think that, you know, we talk about the two greatest commandments that are mentioned in the Old Testament and then certainly in the New Testament, and how these things are not disconnected but connected, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. As you have said, you know, we have these 10 commandments for holy living. And in Christ, this is what we do. And so people need to be tuned in and not to be fearful to step up and to say, you know, this is not living the life of Christ in this world. But here's what God has to say about suffering. So once again, we're back to one of the main questions that people struggle with, and that is the issue of suffering. And I think one of the best places that I have, two places that I would suggest your readers go to, and we've mentioned these before, but repetition is the mother of learning, and you do it well on his time, and that is Romans 5, and then also 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9. You mentioned this, I think, last week. You quoted part of that, and I think that those are two areas for Bible study goers to take a look at suffering. And everybody, of course, goes to the book of Job, and that takes some time to carefully study what Job goes through with his three crony friends who really are not much of a help to him.
Job's a tough book. You know, you try to dig into that, and sometimes even what the friends are saying is a little couched. It's kind of like reading Shakespeare. There's enough poetry going on there that you really have to work at it. Whereas what Peter says and what James says as well about counting it all joy when you face trials, what the New Testament says in these sections is that suffering is godly. Right? It is something God does. And in Jesus especially, we see this. This is a God who's not above suffering. He doesn't come down and say, well, let me put all these humans out of their misery. Right? Instead, he joins with us, absorbs it into himself, and so redeems us to see what that means as we do that for others. And so that's where the least of these in our midst, the burdens that we have upon others are chances for them to show charity and to love. We wouldn't really know love in this age, at least, without that. And it's tough for, you know, there are at least a former generation, maybe my generation too, rightly or in a sense proud of duty, proud of being able to stand on our own two feet. And yet that kind of gets in the way, right? Like, it's really not wrong for somebody to take care of you or to serve you. It's a beautiful thing. And we bring it back to Jesus and Mary. The God of the universe had to be suckled, right? He had to have his diaper changed.
Well, not only that, but I think you can go back to the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, which I know Reed Lessing and I did a thing on aging on Wired in the Word. And one of those seven last words, especially how they apply to aging, but to all people, is when Jesus is suffering and hanging on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he says, to John, here's your mother, Mary, here's your son. You know, like, take care of Mary, John. You know, this is don't abandon her. And when people who get involved with suffering say suffering is for nothing, then one of the things I always ask the student, I said, how many of you, when you were on Vicarage, actually had a Bible study on dying and death and suffering? And I get very few hands raised. And, well, you know, it's kind of a tough issue. It's not a tough issue, not when you take a look at the cross and the empty tomb.
It's the value of Christianity. A Bible study on Victory doesn't do as much good when everything passes away with time and the sand, right? Hey, you had one more thing.
Right.
You had one more thing you wanted to talk about this morning. We got about a minute and a half left here.
Yeah, I just want to just mention briefly, and I know this probably would maybe turn some people off, but many of the studies now that are ongoing, what are we going to do in this world when it comes to artificial intelligence? Now, this is something that I didn't mention last week, but they are trying to work with brain cells to create artificial intelligence in some of these robots, to put brain cells into some of these robots. Now, some of your listeners may say, that's never going to happen. Well, they're working on it, and in the near future, we will see thinking robots with brain tissue that's not very dissimilar to what we have. And so this is going to raise some social and ethical questions about what, we're back to the question that you bring up, what does it mean to be human? And this may be so far-fetched to some of your listeners, but already we have so much computers in our homes, but I would encourage them not to dismiss this, but this takes us back to what does it mean to be human, and to use the what you have said, whose we are, that is in Christ, and to be prepared to deal with, this is still not a human being created in the image of God and redeemed by Christ. So once again, we're going to be called to stand up for Christ and let our voices be heard and not hide it under a bushel.
It's a topic worth looking at again in the future, because it's probably not going to go away. Certainly they're trying to do this stuff out there, and the ethical questions it raises are important. Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thank you for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
Thanks, Pastor. Godspeed.
You're listening to His Time. We'll be back in a moment.